Coming up on TMS, Brian left Japan just a little too late.
Boy, did I. Subway game is creepy.
Yeah. Cure Me.
Fantastic flop.
Drive Me Home, Kid.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Critics have known all along.
Magnum is a continuing hit.
Tom Selleck has been named best actor in a dramatic series.
Selleck has become TV's reigning male superstar.
Check out for yourself what these critics already know.
Magnum P.I. is, for me, the best show on television.
Magnum P.I. Thursday at 7 on Channel 6.
Huh? The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
I forgot to put a Fletcher thing in here. This is The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. I'm your local dumbass. That's Donald Trump. And that's Brian Ibbett.
That's
Hi, Brian.
That's his impersonation of James Hong, right?
Yeah, of course. Huh? Let's compare them. You ready? Let's compare these. All right. So we got to, I got to have the other one up here. Yeah. Where is it? It's not here. Okay, great. Here we go. So here's this one. All right. You got that one.
Uh-huh.
And this one.
That's
close.
Oh, pretty close.
Close. Not
Flash. Someone's working on that already.
Yeah,
guaranteed. Top men working on that.
Guaranteed. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Good to be here. Good to have you. Good to be among you.
I love Thursdays.
Yeah, they were good, right?
Yeah, Thursdays are great. I mean, we get, number one, we do two shows, thanks to our lovely patrons.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it's almost the weekend. And it's, you know, it's like it's the weekend is nigh.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
For me, that means a bunch of extra work, turns out.
Oh.
So Saturday, I have...
the NVIDIA thing.
Well, before all that, we're streaming a bunch of the finals for the Hero Pants tournament.
Sure.
I'm no longer in, by the way. We got beat.
Oh.
I know. In a way, it's probably good.
It's probably a relief, right?
Well, not so much a relief as it is... It's a relief that I don't have... There won't be anybody who is going to claim that we stack the deck. You know what I mean? Like... It's my tournament. We started it. Like, it's the people organizing it are on my team, like Gorath and John and myself and whatever. And, you know, I got to build a team that's pretty rad. Gorath is super good. John's really, really good. Dills is really, really good. Like, Eric's great. Like, we're not fiddling around, right? But I was worried that if we went all the way, that people would say that there was a conspiracy that we had, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there could be. Crying foul, sure.
That we stuffed the ballot or something like that. But
right.
But yeah, so in a way, I'm relieved that we're out because then there can't be any of that talk. But also, it's just a bunch of work. There's going to be like 4 hours of streaming, and I'm going to be involved in a lot of that. And then we'd roll right into the NVIDIA show. So by the time, you know, 7 p.m. or so rolls around, I'm going to be dead to the world. And then the kids and I are going to do some fun stuff because Kim's out of town. She's in Shit Taco right now.
Right.
Yeah. She's there enjoying herself.
What was your meal last night?
We had leftover jambalaya. That was fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're all out of rice now. So if there's any jambalaya today, it'll be more like soup and non-rice
variety. You can make rice, Scott. I don't want to invoke the sound clip, but you can make rice.
You can make rice. You can then eat rice.
It's an easy thing.
It
Even
is.
A podcaster can make rice.
You're right. Here's the simple instructions.
Dump the rice into the thing,
right? And then
you can eat rice.
All right, so that's all you need. We have a rice cooker and I know how to use it, but I'm terrible at these things. It'll burn or something weird will happen.
The rice cooker does it all for you. I mean, basically you put in like if it's the three of you eating, right?
Yeah.
You do like a cup, maybe a cup and a half of rice.
Okay.
And then you fill up enough water to just get to the top of the rice in there.
Oh, is that all you do?
It's all you do. And then
I thought it was like some kind of cup to water ratio thing and all that you had to
do. Well, there is a cup to water ratio, but the rice, I mean, basically as long as the top of the rice is wet, right? If you have a pile of rice in there, flatten it out, put enough water in there just to get to the top of that rice, boom, close it, done.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do that later then. I'm taking your word for it that all I have to do is put as much, whatever amount of rice I put in there, the water just needs to crest the top of the rice.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Jeez, look at you over there, Mr. Foodie Food Network man. It's impressive. I guess it shouldn't be as hard as I think it is.
No, I made green chili last night.
No, I saw your photo. My gosh, that looked good.
Some roasted hatch chilies and some tomatoes and onions and oregano and cumin and...
When you said roasted hatch, what is that? What does that mean?
The hatch chilies, those are those... So, you know when you like you go to what do they call it, a farmer's market?
Oh, yeah.
And there's always the dude over there with the bingo spinner full of peppers.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Over the fire.
Yeah.
Pulls one out and he goes... Zete ocho, zete ocho. Who has zete ocho?
Yeah.
No, it's so that's what they're roasting chilies, the roasting hatch chilies, and again, super easy. You get a bag of those.
Yeah.
You take them home. You pull the tops off the stems.
Yeah.
You cut them open and brush all the seeds out, and then if you run them underwater, you can actually just rub off the burnt skin.
Oh, like the little membrane there.
The little outside, yeah, exactly, the outside skin that's burnt. And then the rest of it tastes fantastic. You chop it up, put it in a pot, onions, tomatoes.
They're not hot, though, right, these chilies?
Yeah, they're hot.
Oh, they are hot.
Spicy? Yeah. Yeah, they're spicy.
Are they real spicy? Like,
well, you can get. I mean, they'll do mild, medium, and hot because they know which is which, right? So they'll you can just say, give me a bag of the mild, and then they will be mild.
Let's look up here. We got Hatch chilies.
Uh-huh.
Scobles. Scoville, sorry, not
Scoville units. Yes,
Scoville
right.
units. They are okay. Hatch chilies, heat level. Here we go. They've given it a at chowhound.chow.com.
And why wouldn't that be the best?
Yeah, that's silliness there. I can't
best place to go.
Find this.
How about
one.
Wikipedia? Because those are they're also known as New Mexico chilies.
Oh, here we go. 1,000 to 2,500 Scovilles. That's pretty low, but still you'd notice it.
Yeah, exactly.
The highest currently is that ghost pepper thing.
Right.
No, not ghost pepper. What's it called now? This is some kind of...
don't they still call it the ghost pepper?
Oh, what's it called? I'm trying to find it. Let me skip down. The Carolina Reaper. That's the new one.
Really?
Carolina Reaper. It's the new Guinness World Record at 1,569,383 Scoville units. Just below that, the Trinidad Moruga Scorpion at 2,009,232.
Wow.
The Chocolate Seven Pot Chili Pepper. I never even heard of these.
No, I haven't either.
The Dorset Naga Chili Pepper. You can only find that in that one zone in World of Warcraft.
Zangarmash.
Yeah, Zangarmash. The only place you'll get it. That one's over 1.5 million. The Trinidad Scorpion Butch. The Butch Tea. That's one. The Naga Viper. The New Mexican Scorpion. Infinity Chili Pepper. And the Gibraltar Spanish Naga Chili Pepper. These are all in the top 10. Wow. I haven't heard of any of these.
So they talk about the chemicals in each of the peppers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, capsaicin is probably the most common one that you're familiar with, like hatch chilies and jalapenos,
right.
Things like that. I believe are all the capsaicin. Then you go into the 16 billion Scoville heat units.
Yeah, yeah. What is that?
And
with
it's
that?
Resin ferrotoxin.
Oh my gosh. Give me 20 cc stat. That sounds
kidding.
A horrible.
That just seems like.
It's like an ER episode.
Yeah. Fira, toxin. I mean, all those segments of that word scare the crap out of me.
So we all thought ghost pepper was the high one. It's not.
Yeah.
It just sounds scary. It's like the 11th or 12th lower than the top. It's also known as the butt chococa.
Mm.
The butt chococa.
Wow.
Which has 1,104 Scovilles. And yeah, there you go. Anyway, we learned a little something today, and that's important.
Yeah, learned about peppers.
Mm-hmm. Some of the names are great. Like the Chilean... What was the one on The Simpsons where Homer had to...
I used to sit in my room every day, and I'd name peppers. My mom would yell up to me, "Hey, you quit naming peppers." And I'd be up there going, "Komodo dragon chili pepper."
Yeah.
"Trinidad Moruga scorpion pepper."
That's right. I really
Cayenne
like...
Cayenne pepper.
The
Serrano pepper.
The Corando chili. The New Mex Arnakey chili. That must be a guy. It must be a dude. The peppercini chili pepper is only 100 to 500 Scoville units.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah.
It's sweeter than it is anything else. I love peppercinis.
Sweet bell pepper is 0 Scoville units, by the
right.
way.
Well, yeah.
Banana pepper, it says up to 0 to 500 because you can make it pretty lame.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this really lame sounding one, the Trinidad perfume chili pepper.
Oh.
And the pimento, you want to know what that is?
Oh, yeah, the pimento.
200 Scoville units, that's it.
That's why they stick them in olives.
Yeah, yeah. And then some of these just sound horrible, like the Santa Fe Grande chili pepper, but it's only 500 Scoville units. But anyway, the one that the Homer took and had his fever dream with Johnny Cash as the dog or whatever.
That was, what was the insanity pepper?
Was that what it was called?
Yeah,
it was made in like insanity. A Peruvian prison or something like that.
Something insanity pepper.
It was awesome. What is that called? Simpsons hot pepper. They were called. Here's some video.
Guatemalan insanity pepper.
Baby. Oh, someone's cell phone. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Guatemalan insanity pepper. That's it. Guatemalan insanity pepper. The merciless pepper of Quetzalcoatlanganga, also known as the Guatemalan insanity pepper. Very hot type of pepper. Chief Wiggum serves it in his chili. Homer has a spirit vision from that. Anyway, it's fantastic. What a great episode that was.
Mm-hmm. So good.
All right. Brian, you left Japan too quick. You just got out of there too fast. What were you thinking? Because now there is a robot-operated Japanese hotel.
I know, right?
Yeah, this is pretty rad. So I pulled up some information about this thing because I thought it seemed like good fodder for the show. The Henna Hotel, which translates to, get this, strange hotel in English.
Really?
Yeah. Is a low-cost establishment in
My
southern Japan.
Doors album.
I know, right? Strange Hotel. It's funny as I would almost believe you if I didn't have most of the Doors music. It's in southern Japan. It is truly challenging current hospitality practices. So here's how it works. The hotel is operated mostly by human-inspired machines. So there's like fake robot ladies at the front. Let's see. There's a robot dinosaur at one of the windows that you can, or one of the what do you call it? The staff cubicles you come up to, right, to
little,
register.
The check-in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your luggage is whizzed around by this little robot machine, like a little Roomba with space in it.
You want some audio that you're just gonna love?
Yeah. Oh yeah. This? Hell yeah.
There you go.
You got something?
So in Skype right there for all you. Right, let me hit play on that business.
All right, see what you got. Oh gosh, dude, no way. This is going to be great. Oh. That's freaky. Okay.
It's Johnny Cab.
It's totally Johnny Cab. Can you talk to it? Then? How come all the Japanese women voices they do for cartoons and other things all are just... like so high? Why is it so high?
It's funny. A lot of the voices were higher when we were out there. Now that you mention it.
Weird. All right. Skip around. He's pushing a big.
See, what is the dinosaur, the velociraptor sound like?
Okay, they're getting to him now. Here he comes. All right, dinosaur. He bowed.
Welcome to the Henel Hotel.
Oh, good. The velociraptor speaks English.
What the crap? Like, we need something that appeals to Americans. It needs to be a dinosaur with a stupid hat on. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Carrying a Big Mac and a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah, what Americans like? Dinosaurs. They love it.
That's right.
They're crazy about them. Let's see. I want to hear what else he's
saying. You want to check in?
Do you want to check in? Okay, so checks in. Oh, that is just a riot. I want to get back to another English speaker. Oh, this other robot.
Weeks later, your luggage finally arrives at your room.
The one robot, the little robot-looking robot, he doesn't say anything. He's just not even talking.
Yeah.
All right, so their luggage is moving around.
Again, super slow. Like.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that. Automated luggage.
Is that the little white arm thing?
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah,
I know. It's like it's handling your luggage with dangerous viruses. And
Hi, I'm a dinosaur. Welcome. That's so stupid.
Would you like to check in, partner?
We make french fries. Woohoo! Like, it's just so stereotyped.
USA number one. Okay, good time. Here's your room key.
Yeah, you know, honestly, now that I've seen that video, I'm not as impressed as I thought I would be. I thought it would be a lot more, I don't know. That seems very Funhouse, like just goofy.
Like they just did the minimum, just enough to make the news, to make BuzzFeed.
Yeah. Yeah, just enough to say, oh, we got three animatronic clerks and a 9,000-pound ancient-looking ATM-looking check-in machine, and that's basically it.
You might be better off just going to the Hall of Presidents at Disneyland if you really want to see some robots.
You want to see Lincoln? Hey, you tell me you got a hotel where Lincoln checks me in? I'm all in, dude. Four score and 1 minute ago, you checked into room 208. Here's your key. That'd be amazing. All right.
All keys are created equal.
Oh, see, you could go so far and have so much fun. It's Daryl time. That's all I know for sure. I don't know anything else in this life but that it's Daryl time. So come on in and enjoy him.
I cannot lie. Check out times 11 a.m.
All right. It is Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
The Stand, a giant book that leaves you wanting more.
Oh, yeah. So I finished The Stand. The Stand is a huge book. It's an enormous tome. And the version I'm reading is Stephen King's definitive, like, gigantic, came back to it and added a bunch of stuff version. Mm-hmm. So it's just huge. But I think a good sign that he did just fine was that I never once noticed the percentage complete little indicator at the bottom of my Kindle, which will tell you how far you are. I never noticed that. I just tore through that thing, bits and pieces here and there, between about a couple weeks before Nerdtacular, and then I finished the book yesterday. What a freaking great book that is! I can't wait till they make a movie again or do something. They had a miniseries back in 1991 or something, starring Gary Sinise as Stuart Redmond. Which was a weird casting now that I think about it, because he's a little too short and slight for the way I see that character. But anyway, The Stand deserves another stab. Somebody needs to make another rad thing about it.
I ever read it. I read a lot of Stephen King books, but I don't think I ever made it to The Stand.
It's probably my second favorite thing he ever did. The
After
first
Dark
being
Tower?
All Dark Tower, yeah. Yeah. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, grand. Speaking of things people have seen, Daryl saw, he finally saw the Fury Road there. And you liked it.
Yes, yeah. I loved it.
Now, when I told you, because you texted me and said, you were giving me a little play-by-play about how weird it was, and then you at the end said, I can't remember what you said, and I made some comment that it's my favorite movie of the last decade, and then you said, oh, I don't think it's that, and then I said, name a better one, and you couldn't do it, could you?
No, there haven't been that many great movies in the last 10 years.
That is my point. Helping this movie.
I mean, there's been good ones, like the Avengers stuff.
Sure, that was good, but I'd still put this above that. I'd put this above everything I've seen in 10 years. Go from 2005 till now.
That's huge.
Yeah, I cannot think of
it's
a movie.
Big words there, Scott.
Can't think of a movie I enjoyed more. And I've tried hard. I've looked back and I went, all right, well, I loved Dark Knight. I loved what else? I mean, that's it. What else? What else is there?
Did you love it because it was exciting or did you love it because it was funny?
I loved it because it was everything I ever wanted in an action movie. It's everything. It's not just one thing. It's like there's some funny moments. There's some amazing. I think what I loved is I felt like I was being shown something I'd never seen before. And I was constantly being surprised visually with things that I'd never seen happen on screen. And I just
and
like,
it was
oh my
really
gosh.
Artistically done.
Yeah, incredibly well done. And I'm very visual and I think that worked for me. I also really liked, and I've said this on the show before, but I liked that the show didn't have to force feed me a plot. I was able to fill in the gaps and build a world out in my imagination, which movies don't let me do very often. And it encouraged me to do that. And I loved how it was shot and just all the practical effects and just all that stuff. It's just so cool. So yeah, Friday, get it on Blu-ray or now digitally.
If you just had that car in a car and the music guy and that was it, that would be enough for me.
You like the car on a car part. I know that. You mentioned that a couple of times.
Yeah, I like that too, man. That is really cool.
Yeah, well, if you're going to have a car, that's fine. If you're going to have a car on a car, oh, dude.
No, right?
Didn't that have tank treads too or something?
There was
something weird.
Oh, yeah, there was that other one. Yeah, throw that in there too. That was great.
That was cool. Right. I liked the guy in the suit, except his nipples were exposed with the club foot, like the big nasty foot. That guy was great. Everything about that movie is great. There's nothing I don't like. I don't have a thing about it I don't like, and I can't say that about almost any movie I've ever seen. There's things I don't like about Empire Strikes Back. for heaven's sakes. Mm. But there's things I just, you can't point me in the direction of something bad in Fury Road and I won't believe you. That's how much I like it.
Oh.
Anyway, and I'm sorry, it's not this Friday. It's September 1st, I think, is when Blu-ray's out. I keep thinking it's this Friday, but it's not. Anyway, doesn't matter. None of that's neither here nor there because today is Stump a Trek Nerd Day. Actually, it is every day. But we're going to do it again today. And today's Daryl's chance to either get a bunch of free cookies or not, depending on whether he gets his question right or wrong.
A bunch of free cookies.
And it's true of us, too. You know, if we get our little quiz at the end wrong or right, then same deal.
We got cookies on the line, too.
Yeah. So let's start it off with the question. Daryl, here it is. In the Next Generation episode, Sins of the Father, Commander...
Yeah, I know.
Commander Kern comes aboard the Enterprise as part of an officer exchange program. I hated this episode.
Right.
Riker had previously taken part in the program and served on a Klingon ship. Kern transports to the Enterprise and wants to get to work right away. He gives a speech on the bridge. He chews out one of the members of the bridge crew. Who does he yell at during this speech? Was it A, Data, B, Wesley Crusher, who, by the way, is hosting the contest portion of BlizzCon this year? That'll be fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All the dance and the costume and all that stuff?
Yep. Will Wheaton will be doing it.
Will Wheaton.
Just got announced yesterday. Anyway.
There's part of me that still misses Jay Moore.
Yeah, people wanted to give him a lot of crap, but
yeah,
I kind of miss him,
sarcasm,
too.
His sarcasm, I think, was just the right amount for this.
And it brought a little piece of Hollywood in. You know, that isn't quite there with Chris Hardwick or Wesley.
Yeah.
But it's, I guess it is what it is.
I mean, I like, don't get me wrong, I like Hardwick and I like Will Wheaton for this too. But.
Yeah. Hardwick's just a one for though. I wonder if he's just too busy or something. He's got that midnight show and all that. Anyway, Data, Wesley Crusher, Deanna Troi, or Worf. All right. Michael Dorn's Worf. He's your fourth option there. So, Daryl, I want you to think about it real carefully, real closely. While we do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
Final cookie tasting. From
it's the final cookie.
This is all from Stephen Potter, who comes to us from damngoodglutenfree.etsy.com. Wants to remind you, if you use the code FROGPANTS and you check out with some cookie purchases, these are all gluten-free, amazing cookies, you get 10% off right now. All right? So this ends soon, so get that now if you want it. So what is the last one? I don't even know what the flavor
is. The ginger, the OM ginger.
Okay.
My God. Ginger.
Yeah, this is it.
Which was one of the last episodes from Gilligan's Island.
His business card that he put in there.
Yeah.
I like his logo. If you look at it straight on, but if you turn it around, it looks like a medical diagram of somebody's kidneys, and I don't know. It's very anatomical.
I know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you turn it upside down?
Yeah. Even right side up.
Well, it also looks like an angry face with some big ears.
A three-boobed woman.
Yeah, or an angry reproductive system is what it looks
right.
like.
Angry ovaries. Also available on Etsy.
Oh, that sounds great. They'd be plushies, wouldn't they? Angry ovaries.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this one.
Okay,
I'm actually not because I don't like ginger.
Oh,
I like ginger. I like Marianne. I'm more of a Marianne guy.
Well,
but
who isn't?
Yeah.
Oh, this smells like fried shrimp.
What?
What?
What kind of doesn't crack it? Are you smoking at night?
What?
That was really good. It sounded like the clip. Wow.
What?
Anyway, what do you don't you
what?
Think? I can't tell.
What?
Doesn't smell like. Doesn't smell like fried shrimp
it
at all.
Like fried shrimp.
Where do you get your fried shrimp?
I dig them out of cookies.
Apparently at Mrs. Fields.
Okay. Fair enough. Mrs. Fields. You know the last time I've been to a Mrs. Fields, it's like 15 years ago. It's been so long.
There's a cavern in mine. Look at that.
That's a Utah connection. She's a Utah lady, Mrs. Fields.
Anyway, oh, Mrs. Fields is?
Yeah.
Where's Famous Amos from?
I don't know.
Okay.
Colorado. Let's just say it.
Okay.
Hey, where's Grand Junction, Colorado? Where is that?
That is west of Denver,
Junction?
Southwest of Denver.
So if you were going to come to see me, you'd go through that?
If I don't take the northern way, then yeah.
Okay.
If I take I-70 to come see you or to go to Vegas, then you go through Grand Junction.
A couple of characters in that book near the end spent a lot of time getting through Grand Junction.
That's where I picked up some peaches on the drive home from...
The peaches for your yogurt.
Yep.
And they had they have a lot of snow there in the winter.
In Grand Junction, probably.
Yeah, very thick. Well, according to the stand, they had a lot of snow.
Right at the... Yeah, it's basically... It's after you get through the mountains and you start getting into the long, flat stretches of the drive.
Oh, I see.
This is a very gingery ginger snap or ginger.
Oh, well then Daryl will love it.
Oh, I better eat that then.
I'm eating it now.
Like sushi ginger.
That's not gonna help Daryl. I don't think so, really.
Mm-hmm. Wait for the aftertaste.
Oh yeah. A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I really like them though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are good.
That's okay.
All right, verdict. The best one of this batch. I'm going to list them in order, okay?
Yeah.
Lemonade. That cool, refreshing drink. Number two, I think the snickerdoodles are right up there. Three, bacon. And four, these. Now, I would say that I'm not giving giant gaps between them. Like, Daryl would put 60 miles between him and the bacon.
But so that's your order of preference.
Yeah, but I would say that they're all right up there.
I would put the... For me, the cinnamon ones.
Uh-huh.
There it is. They're just called snickerdoodles.
Yeah, that's the snickerdoodles.
That was the number one for me, then lemonade, then this, then bacon.
All right.
For me to raise bacon up, it would have to have a little more bacon.
Yeah, I'm with you there. More bacon never hurts anybody, ever. Well, that's not true. It kills us all if we have more bacon, but whatever. Daryl,
put lemon at the top, bacon at the end, and then these that we just ate, probably third.
Oh, okay. Yeah, these aren't, but you got to admit, these aren't as bad as you thought they were going to be.
They're not bad at all.
They're not fried shrimp.
They're good. They just smell like fried shrimp.
Well, that's fantastic.
It's better than smelling like beef.
Yep. Nobody smells like beef.
A little kid smells like beef.
Yeah, but if I was any slower on getting to the file. Hold on a second. Now I can't even find it.
I give you all these setups.
I smell like beef. I still can't
find
it.
Just give me the soundboard, Scott. Give it to me.
He was right here last I checked. Here it is.
I smell like beef.
No, it's so...
Serious vocal fry going there.
Freaking gross. All right, Daryl.
Because speed it up, old man.
It did a little bit.
What would happen? Someone needs to be in there to slow that down and see what it sounds like. I smell like beef.
Like Veronica's sausage thing that I always do.
Yeah.
Daryl, now, look, it's on you now to give us some information. It's today in Star Trek history.
Ah, yes. Back on this day in 1987, the first ever footage of the Ferengi was shot for the TNG episode The Last Outpost.
Mm. This is the one that had Shimmerman in it, but he wasn't Quark.
Right.
He was just a straight-up ass Ferengi. Yeah, I remember that.
With the whips.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think that went? He did well there, and everything went good, and then Deep Space Nine came years and years later. But he just went and auditioned again and said, I probably got the deal because I was already good at this or something. How do you think that sort of thing works?
I think they probably said, we need a Ferengi that's like that original one. Mm. And then they decided, let's just get the same guy.
It's the same dude. Like when they hired Harry Morgan to be Colonel Potter, like 2 weeks after he had played a crazy person. Remember that? Like that was the weirdest thing on MASH.
Well, it wasn't 2 weeks, but it was recent.
Yeah. It was the previous season. And if you count...
And I just went through that too. Season 3, the last episode. Don't watch that at the gym. You're not supposed to cry at the gym.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's no crying at the gym.
You shouldn't do that. Oh my gosh, my daughter still. You just bring it up and she gets upset. She can't
deal
with
it. That is a sad episode.
Yeah, that's rough. There's other sad stuff.
Maybe somebody
coming.
Could go in there. Maybe Larry Gelbhart can get in there and do an alternate ending where... Hey, just want to interrupt surgery to let you know that Harry's plane landed safely and
everything's good.
Everything's good. He was welcome to Tokyo with Lay's or something. Yeah. Whatever they give you at Tokyo when you get off the airplane in 19...
Heading home. He'll be with his family before you know it.
54 or whatever 50, it was.
Yeah, when was the 53, Korean War?
53, 54? When was the...
Yeah, 53, I think.
53. Yeah. The entire conflict lasted a year.
Right.
MASH lasted like a year, 12 years or something?
Right.
By the time they were done, Hawkeye's hair was gray. So there's that.
Mm.
Daryl, what the hell are we doing here? Oh, yeah, we're doing a thing. Let's get to it.
That's what she said.
Daryl.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You have to answer this question. And I think you may know who it is, but it's either Data, Wesley, Deanna, or Worf that this Klingon was having a guff with on the bridge there.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was someone that you wouldn't think it was, like Troy or Wesley, but definitely not Worf.
You don't think he was fighting with Worf? Because a lot of Klingons would fight with Worf because they thought he was a traitor and he worked with the humans too much and all that, right? Isn't that a thing?
Well, I think it was, he was, oh, I don't know. I don't even have a reason.
Okay.
So why would, ask the question again. All right. All I have is a list of names.
It is Data. Oh, sorry. It's, so they have this little exchange program. Commander Kern comes aboard the Enterprise, gives a speech on the bridge, chooses out one of the members of the bridge crew. And it's one of these people that he chooses out. We don't have reasons in the question as to why he chewed them out, but he chewed them out.
Oh, maybe it was Worf then, because he was trying to make Worf mad because he thought that Worf was soft and wasn't a warrior anymore.
Right. They seemed like they had a lot of episodes where they were trying to tweak Worf's Klingon nerve.
Right, right, exactly.
To get him to freak out. Yourself a Klingon.
Yeah. You have no honor.
You're not fit to wear the raised prosthetic on your forehead that
son of Poe.
Are you still a warrior? I don't believe you're a warrior. You've gone soft with these humans.
Exactly.
Right.
Although you didn't say it as nearly the intimidating voice I expected from a Klingon, but it was fine.
You are without honor.
You're totally fine.
If I was at home.
Yeah, no, you could really bellow that out. I understand.
Yeah.
We can't have Janice from accounting hearing any of this. It's fine.
Well, now that we have the silence and you have not accepted my answer.
Oh, you gave it? I thought you were still deliberating.
Maybe I better pick something else.
No, you can do whatever you want. I thought you're saying Worf. I thought you weren't done yet.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Maybe I am. Because that would be too obvious. That would be super obvious. Kern would chew out Worf. That's like the obvious answer.
Maybe he thinks you know it's the obvious answer.
Well, no. It's not a good question if it's an obvious answer.
Hey, that's never stopped Mike before. Some of these questions are terrible.
Is it Troy or Wesley? Or it could even be Data, because he's an android.
Could be anybody.
Could be anyone.
Except all these.
We'll narrow it down to those four.
Yeah. We'll say it won't be. It will not be Picard or Riker.
Well, Riker was over on the other ship.
Oh, that's right. The exchange.
Trying to figure out how he's going to step over those weird alien chairs.
Right. Without getting, without lacerating a testicle or whatever.
Right, exactly.
These Klingon episodes, I just don't even like. I watch them once. I watched this once probably 30 years ago or whatever, and then never again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Brian, when he tried to get over a Klingon chair, this is what happened.
I bet his balls just exploded.
There you go.
Terpster knows. Yeah, he knows.
He always knows.
Okay. Well, I have an arrow pointing to Wesley.
Okay.
I have crossed out Worf and then put a box around it.
All right. That makes perfect sense.
It's like you're solving a logic problem or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means or what I've done.
What does
it mean? I should stick with Worf. This is an important thing. This is for all the cookies.
This is for all the cookies, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to start calling
you. I guess.
Who was that guy who made the movie with Tom Hanks based on the books that were real popular? Dan Brown? You're like Dan Brown over there.
Right. It's the Riker code.
Yeah. I've put a box around it and then crossed it out. And then connected the two with a small line. Yeah, I like it. All the symbology is pretty good. So you say Worf, is that your deal? Or no?
I guess. If it was one of the others, I wouldn't know which one to pick.
All right.
So I'll say Worf, and I'll get it wrong, and I'll lose all the cookies, and I'll be sad.
Well, let's find out. That's a very negative outlook on life, but let's find out if you're right. Is it Commander Worf, Lieutenant Worf, whatever he was at the time?
Oh, no.
There goes all the cookies.
Here, I want a second guess. It was Troy then.
Nope, it was Wesley Crusher.
It was Wesley.
Yes, you're right. Your third guess is correct. Wesley is talking to Data during the speech, and Kern chews him out for this. Here's a clip of that happening on the bridge. Here you go. That's nice.
I have studied all of your Starfleet records. Impressive. We shall see if you live up to your reputations. Do you wish to speak, Acting Ensign Wesley Crusher?
No, sir. Commander, sir.
The crew awaits your orders, Captain.
Didn't really chew him out. Here's what I would say about that. That's Candyman, by the way. That actor.
Oh, is that that's the same dude?
Yeah, and the reason I know that at all is his most recent voice work, VO work for World of Warcraft, where he plays Durotan, is just like that. It sounds like the Klingon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that just stood out to me big time, just hearing that right then. Anyway, don't say his name three times or he'll shoot bees out of his mouth. Daryl, good job. You blew it. You don't have any cookies.
That was my first choice, too, was Wesley.
Oh, well, see.
Oh, by the arrow around it.
That's true. Well, Daryl, don't worry. People can still find you at the Trek Nerd on Twitter. They can also find you at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast, a show all about grumpy old men. That's it, Daryl. Or
you know what I can do though? I haven't really been that much of a loser because I can go buy those cookies. Damn it!
Yeah,
you could
that's right.
Go buy those cookies.
You should.
I could just buy them.
Yeah.
Where would you?
And
where would you buy them? Where? What's the address?
I would contact that guy.
Well, okay. No. The answer is you would go to damngoodglutenfree.etsy.com.
I would contact that guy. That was amazing. All right, Daryl. Play a game with us now, please. What is it? What are we doing?
Okay. I have many choices. I'm going to pick the hard one.
All right.
Oh,
let's see.
Wow.
Wait.
So just don't get free cookies.
I have a clip for the hard one. Hold on. Here you go.
No more Oreos.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Oh,
actually, we do have some Oreos for next week.
Yeah, we do.
Wow. But anyway.
We should. I don't. Yep. I know you guys.
Is that Trump?
Oh.
Yeah, that was Trump.
Is that some sort of racial thing? What's he talking about?
No more Oreos.
Oh, I don't know what that's from. I should find out. I got it off just some short clip, and I don't know what the context was.
No more Oreos.
Say the one. I got a few of him. Him saying that.
I was like really high.
So these are, you know, these are out of context, so I don't know. But
right.
Maybe he was talking. Maybe it was a racial thing. That'd be terrible.
No more Oreos.
No more Oreos.
Right.
That would be bad.
Oh yeah.
All right. Anyway.
I don't even know. I honestly don't even know what who do you defend by using the term Oreo? Like what you'd.
Yeah. What would he even mean?
Yeah.
It had to be. Maybe he meant if we keep letting all of these Mexicans up here, we won't have any more Oreos because they're eating all our Oreos. Maybe they didn't, I don't know. Who knows?
We wanted more cookies. They wouldn't give us more
exactly.
Cookies.
All right, Daryl. Sorry. What is it? Give it.
Okay, Star Trek. I'm not giving you a hard one. This is the one I planned all along. Star Trek episode title or actual game show.
All right. All right. Just like the last few days. Got it. I'm good.
Flashback.
Oh, gosh.
Flashback. All right. It sounds like a game show. Actually, it could very easily be both. Flashback the game show. Contestants
it's not ringing a bell necessarily, but to me it seems like maybe an older one. Is this out of our, like, would it be out of our decade or not?
Oh,
decade?
Easily could be. Yeah, I mean, it could be a could be a 60s or 70s game show. Flashback, the game where contestants blah 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 blah.
Now the reason I lean that way and not Star Trek is because if it's Star Trek, it's just a trope that shows use. It's not a title. Yeah.
But it could be right. I mean, but it could be an episode called Flashback, right?
I guess so. Somebody has and this is TOS or TNG, right?
It's just all Star Trek.
All Star Trek.
Any Star Trek. I'd say I would actually lean more towards it being a Star Trek thing. And here's why, because the previous 3 days,
yeah.
The chair, well, I can't remember the other two, but all three of them have been actual game shows, haven't they?
Yeah. What was the chair? What were you talking about with the chair?
Yeah, the chair was the one with John McEnroe.
Oh no, it was called, whatever it was yesterday, the McEnroe.
Oh, yeah, no, that was Brain.
Brain Fart.
Right, Brain Fart.
That's a great name for
actually,
a show.
That is a really good name for a game show.
Yeah, Brain Fart.
That would either be on GSN or Sci-Fi.
Yeah, or MTV or something.
I'd say let's go Star Trek.
You think Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Having a weird Really? Premonition, but I, you know what? I,
well, we've you gone... and I could differ, and one of us gets cookies and one of us doesn't.
Yeah, but now I'm wondering. I'm starting to be like Daryl now. I don't know. All right, you know what? Just for, because worst case, again, I'll buy cookies if I have to.
Right, right, of course.
All right, you say Star Trek, I'll say game show. Daryl, how'd we do?
All right.
Okay. Oh, Scott, it looks like you get cookies. It's Voyager after a mind meld of Janeway. Tuvok experiences flashback of his tour of duty with Captain Sulu aboard USS Excelsior.
Now, are you sure there's no, you're positive there's no, here, well, I'll look it up. You're sure there's
I looked. I looked all these up because I did find some other ones that were both, but I didn't use those.
Okay. Mm. Well, I just found one. Hold on. Is this, I searched the
right thing. Oh, no. Game show.
Game show flashback presented by Tylenol. Hold on. it's on the GSN, the Game Show Network. Hold on. Game show flashback. Oh, no, you know
probably,
what?
It's a thing where they show old game shows on the game show.
You're right. It's called, the actual show is called Game Show Flashback, not Flashback the Game Show.
Yeah, it's looking at old game shows.
Right.
Damn it. All right. I'm buying cookies. Way to go, Brian. You did it. You nailed it. Why is Daryl still here? Hold on a second. All right. Sorry. I'm lost. I'm frustrated. I hadn't gotten one wrong, and now I got one wrong. All right. Where are we? What are we doing? I got the news. Here it is.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
Same Sex Mary's brand new album, Second Coming, is available now. And be sure to catch the band on Saturday, September 26th in Las Vegas for the Life is Shit Festival. I might be there.
Wow. Are you really going?
I might. Tina and I are going to be in town that weekend. We're going to go. This is like a purely vacational trip, right?
Yeah.
No panels I have to go speak on.
Yep.
No massive awards that I have to cart around after winning.
Right.
No no trivia competitions or anything like that. It is Tina and I going out there, sitting at the pool, going out for nice dinners, going to go see the Baz Luhrmann musical.
Yeah. I think that sounds great.
But it is the same weekend as both the Life is Beautiful Festival on the Strip and the Life is Shit Festival in downtown Vegas.
Get a little of both, Brian.
Get a little of both. But I don't think we're... Oh, man. Duran Duran is playing on one of the days that we're there, though.
Oh, my god!
So hard for me not to say, you know what? I think we're going to go see Duran Duran.
Girls on film. Oh, they change it to old men on stage.
Wearing too tight pants.
Too tight pants. You can see our shriveled testicles through our two tight pants.
Exactly.
Anyway, well, that'll be fun. When's this again? When's this happening?
September 26th in Las Vegas.
Lovely.
That weekend. That whole weekend is the Life is Beautiful Festival, but the Life is Shit Festival is only on the Saturday.
I love that they have that.
Yes. Oh, you should see the artwork for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
If it's, this has got a big poo on it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. An ill-timed Subway game. I don't know if you've heard more about this whole Subway thing. That Jared stuff's gotten worse. He's not just... So you remember the story that Jared Fogle of your Subway ads. Hey, I used to be fat, but now I eat Subway. Right. Now
he
I'm skinny.
Used to walk to Subway every day, and he'd eat there every day, and he'd always get like the low-calorie 6-inch option and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was the glasses-wearing everyman. Turns out he was also... Apparently, now this is all, you know, they got to prove this in court, but he had been raided for having a hard drive full of child pornography, and now it's come out that he was actually soliciting sex from minors through some service that does that for people in fancy hotels or something. So the guy's a real winner, it appears. Again, you know, innocent until proven guilty, we'll see, but that's what's currently being levied against him. Sounds like he may admit to the porn part to lessen the sentence. I don't know, there's some talk about all that. But anyway... In a historically terrible promotion tie-in, Subway Sandwich Company released an online game that allows kids to play with Jared Fogle's pants.
There's a $5 foot-long joke in there somewhere, but I don't have the time to go digging for it.
You don't. It'll come to you later.
Yeah.
The game was live on Subway's kids' website on Wednesday, the same day it was alleged that the ex-Pix Man possessed the kiddie porn and solicited minors for sex. It has been taken down. The Free Jared Pants Dance game featured a pair of Fogle's blue jeans, which are used to catch sandwiches bottles of water and other snacks for points. Fogel allegedly possessed child porn and had sex with minors between 2011 and 2013, according to a federal court document filed Wednesday in Indiana. And related news, Jared Fogel's wife filed for divorce today. Yeah. Wow. You know, here's what I know. Well, I don't know anything. Whatever. I'm just always disappointed. It's just always so disappointing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
You know, though, at least Jared wasn't one of those people that you kind of looked up to, right? He was just this dude. He was just this dude that Subway found that lost a lot of weight while eating Subway.
Yeah.
And he's not like this, you know, ambassador or it's not like you know, it's not like Pee Wee Herman when issues came up with Pee Wee Herman or with Pete Townsend or
right. Yeah, exactly.
Was it Pete Townsend?
Was it not Pete Townsend? The other. No,
I think it was Pete Townsend. There was a thing with Pete Townsend.
Was there?
I think it was just like a. Hold on a second. Hopefully, I'm not.
just throwing him under the bus.
Exactly. Scandal.
Oh, cleared. He was cleared on those charges. It says
child porn on his computer, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Gary Glitter, where Gary Glitter actually was.
He was bad.
Doing horrible things.
Well, according to this, Townsend was cleared on all charges. Forensics investigator found that I had entered a website. What? Hadn't entered any websites. Anyway, so, yeah, he says.
His claim, as of an article in, when was this? Shoot, I don't see the date on it. There we go, 2012 said, I paid for child porn to prove that British banks were channeling sex ring cash.
Oh, that's the worst excuse since my dog ate my homework, dude. Is that really what happened there?
That's what he says. That's what the article on the Telegraph says.
Wow. Weird. Mm. All right. Anyway.
I just wanted to prove that banks would be doing this if I paid for it.
Bottom line, everyone's
still
weird.
Still love Pete Townsend.
Yeah. Well, I liked him until that the Who did the Super Bowl, and his belly gimmick flopping out, and I could see it under the camera. That's a terrible camera angle. Don't do
whatever.
It. It's
whatever.
It's gross. It's gross.
Still rock and roll to me.
You're right. Let's see what else is happening. An injection could cure obesity developed at Harvard and MIT. This is good for those among us, and there are people, I have friends who have very specific conditions that result in obesity, not just them not exercising or eating too much. There are real things. And this could be an interesting way to cure that, according to this. An injection away after scientists at Harvard and MIT discovered that a tiny DNA tweak causes the metabolism to burn up excess fat. Boy, I could actually maybe just give me that. I
think really? With what?
You're so damn skinny. I have a few pounds I want to convert to, like, I want muscle and I want to, there's just a few little things.
And lift weights, bro.
Do you even lift?
You don't need a shot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. I've been walking around with you in Nerdtacular. I felt like, you know, Laurel and Hardy.
Well, I don't know about that, but I just know that there are a couple little bags here. Just a little here and there. It's nothing horrible, but, you know, I'm onward and upward. History is a rising road and all that.
I don't even know what that means.
It just means, you know, you want to get better all the time. That's all.
Right.
Sure. Anyway, new researchers at Harvard and MIT discovered this obesity gene, the OG, switches on two other genes which stop fat being burned up as heat, a process called thermogenesis. Jeez, sounds like something Spock would have to be reborn in on the planet. Anyway, and crucially, they have shown it to be possible to turn off those genes, using a groundbreaking gene editing technique, which snips out bad DNA code and replaces it with the correct sequence. Nothing about this could possibly go wrong. It says zombies or something. But anyway, that's an interesting thing to do. Like editing your genetic code. That's interesting. Think of that,
yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
Like, forget about this particular one. Like, what if I suck at math? Well, I do suck at math. What if they had
an injection that you can get? I mean, we're getting closer to Matrix every day, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, dude. I don't know how I feel about it now that you said that. The sequels are crap. Anyway.
People in chat room said, well, Scott and Brian just became two valley girls at the gym. Shut up. You're so skinny.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe
it. Oh, my God. I wish I looked like you. You're so skinny.
It is. Yeah. The Fantastic Four flop has sparked a bunch of rumors. Like maybe Marvel might get it back rumors.
Yeah.
After spectacular flop at the box office, speculation is rampant the Fantastic Four could return to its Marvel roots. Industry watchers and fans alike are questioning whether 20th Century Fox can salvage its Fantastic Four franchise after an attempt to reboot the series drew some scathing reviews and opened with earnings well short of its $40 million estimate. It had a reportedly $120 million budget. So they are, I think they still haven't made up the money for the budget.
Yeah, I think so.
And
too.
In a world where Marvel characters and movies drive billions of dollars, the fact that you can't make one good enough to at least hit your budget, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is, I guess.
That's, yeah, and it's apparently, okay, so we've had some, there's been some discussion in the Tadpool about the movie, and one of our Tadpooligans went and saw it and said, all right, you know, the first three quarters of the movie isn't as bad as people are talking about. Reed's powers apparently aren't, you know, what we reported on from a news article saying that he bends time and space around him to make it look like he's stretching. Mm-hmm. And even the Doom as an angry blogger thing apparently, again, was just kind of internet noise. Now, they may have gone back after those things got leaked. They may have done some things to change the movie, because I know that there were lots of changes made to the movie during production, you know, post-production. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Josh Trank is not very happy about. He even says that there's a another ending that he wrote that was much better. But I don't feel like Marvel is really wanting to do with the Fantastic Four anymore. Apparently, the comics that they're soliciting for right now, for like whatever 3 months from now, after this whole Secret Wars thing wraps up, this mega crossover event that they're doing.
Yeah.
Peter Parker is moving into the Baxter Building because it's unoccupied.
Yeah, there's nobody there.
Johnny Storm is a member of the Inhumans. The Thing is a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Reed and Sue are nowhere to be found. I think that Marvel's just going to kind of let them ride in the back seat for a while, and maybe in 3 or 4 years it'll be this big. The Fantastic Four is back, and here's how they've changed, and here's what's new about them, and, you know.
That could give them time to work out a deal with Fox to get it back as well.
Certainly could. Yeah. Yep, totally could.
I think you're right. I think that is a totally, I think in 4 years we may look back and go, yep, Brian was right. That's the prediction came true.
Yeah.
That's how this thing turned out.
All right, looking at the way the Marvel Cinematic Universe works, which is... I would say 80% technology and 20% superpowers.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at characters like Iron Man, he's a guy with technology. Black Widow, she's agile, but she relies on technology. Hulk, of course, is your superpower, and Thor is a god. And
It's maybe 70-30.
Maybe 70-30, okay. Sure. Fantastic Four, I mean, those characters are... you know, 10% science. Mm-hmm. I mean, Reed Richards is obviously all about science, but the powers that they have are superpowers. They're not a suit. They're not given to them by wearing, you know, special underwear, whatever.
Sure. They're science accidents, but nonetheless, they're superhuman, extraordinary powers for sure.
How do you bring them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I know exactly what you do. You keep the Thing with Guardians of the Galaxy, and you have him show up in the sequels.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, I think that would make him very interesting as a character.
And the Inhumans movie's coming too. You could easily throw a Johnny Storm in there.
Yeah, put the torch in there. Human Torch right there. I mean, that's if it were me.
You don't do an origin story.
No. You don't need one.
Yeah.
You just have him show up. He's all rocky and horrible. Everyone's super stoked because he's in the trailer. Can't wait to see him in here. Like, if Guardians of the Galaxy 2, just imagine if that trailer hits... and he's in the trailer, fans would lose their minds.
Oh, they would lose their minds.
And not in a bad way. That would mean they'd be like, oh, finally, he's home. You know, like they'd feel like he's back and we can do something real with him.
Because we didn't need, you know, we have a little bit of mention of Rocket Raccoon's origin in the movie. Right. But really their origin, the Guardians of the Galaxy origin story, is just them coming together in prison and saying, hey, oh, let's work together.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get, what did Groot come from? Or how did Rocket Raccoon become this genetically modified?
Yeah, we just have hints that we fill in with our heads.
And it's totally fine. Yeah. People love that movie, and we didn't need an origin story.
Exactly. It's what I mean. The thing I keep talking about Fury Road, but the thing I love about Fury Road is they didn't have to spell everything out for me.
Right.
I got it. I just intuited it. A
couple flashbacks, sure, but that's it.
That's it. Yeah. And those were so brief and so, you know, minor that you were like, I'm not even sure that is that his daughter. Oh, I guess it is. And then later you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening here? I get all that backstory about those women just from a couple of words. Like I totally get it. Give me more of that in movies. Movies need to assume that we're smarter than we are sometimes.
Right.
Don't spell it all out. We don't need to see every freaking. Hey, Peter Parker got bit by a spider. I'm aware.
We all know it.
I am aware.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, you know what the deciding point at how well they would be able to do something like that with Fantastic Four is going to be the Doctor Strange movie. Because that's not a guy in a suit. He's not in a magic, mystical suit. He's a guy who's channeling the mystic arts and I guess technically not superpowers either, right?
Not really, but still the psychedelic weird thing that you don't see. Like, this is their chance to say Marvel's the 30% of Marvel. Let's see how that looks.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting. I think it'll be probably fine. They've proven themselves time and time again. Good discussion.
Yeah.
When we come back, Wendy will be here. We'll do a little Therapy Thursday. But before we do, Brian brought music. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, even Trump agrees that I brought music.
Completely agrees. All right, good. So give it to us. What do you got there?
All right. So this one is going out to Sean from the great state of Vermont. Mm. Says, today marks the 5th anniversary of marriage with my dear wife, and they said it would never last. Well, they were right, because today also marks 3.5 years to the day that we've been separated.
Oh, geez.
He says, hindsight. Keep up the great work, gents. Glad I left that hoe, though, even if the sex is solo.
Oh, man.
Jeez. I had to read that email because it was so damn hilarious.
That email escalated quickly.
It did. It went to a different place than we expected. Oh, yeah. Sean from Vermont requested Good Times, Bad Times, covered by Mr. Zach Wilde. This comes from a tribute to Led Zeppelin called Stairway to Heaven. It was a Japanese import. And also features, you know, talk about, here's your rock album. You ready?
Yeah.
This album features Zakk Wylde, Sebastian Bach,
whoa,
Lita Ford, and Lou Gramm all doing Led Zeppelin covers.
Oh, my God. Sebastian Bach still doing things? Wow.
Apparently so.
All right.
I don't know the year this came out, but it's a Japanese import. Mm. In any case, here's a cover of Led Zeppelin's Good Times, Bad Times, covered by all those people I just mentioned.
blank.
Caliente, caliente, you like it a lot.
Hot, caliente at McDonald's means hot, hot,
hot. Hot, juicy Big Mac, caliente for me. Makes my hands want to move to the heat of the beat.
Caliente, caliente, hot and warming time.
For some chicken McNuggets.
Oh, no.
So if you like it caliente, McDonald's is hot.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's. Caliente, caliente.
Show me that penis.
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, got some good... Some good Terpster stuff lately.
Nice. Show me that penis.
Oh, that was
penis.
Him too?
Yeah, that was him as well.
Show me that penis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby.
You don't hear any accent in that.
No. It's kind of, yeah, kind of.
Show me that penis.
Yeah, it's kind of not as much as usual for him. Welcome back, everybody. That was an awesome cover. I got to get that album now. That was great.
It's good. Yeah, it doesn't inject much new into the songs, but it's good. It's solid.
Yeah.
By the way, Donald Trump says he won't eat Oreos because they're too Mexican now.
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Yeah, that's what he says. He says,
so it's as bad as what we thought.
Yeah, it pretty much is. Yes, exactly. Where is it? Let's see here. Donald Trump has pledged never to let another Oreo pass his lips. I'm not eating any more Oreos, he promised on Monday afternoon. He made the declaration while speaking with reporters in the back of the jury assembly room at Manhattan Supreme Court. He was waiting to learn if he would be picked to serve on a panel, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. He passed the time chatting about a wide range of subjects that included the recent decision by Mondelez International, the parent of Nabisco, to move some of its Chicago operations to Mexico.
Well, what about his clothing line and stuff that's made down there?
I don't know.
Come on.
Like, I'm not eating any more Oreos.
Yeah, because of Mexico. That's ridiculous.
What?
Hi, sorry.
No more quesadillas.
We're talking about Donald Trump won't eat Oreos anymore because they're made in Mexico, we just found out. How lame is that?
I'm far away, and I'm having a hard time believing any of this conversation is real.
That's
is leading the polls. Is that real?
No. Here's the deal, Wendy.
It kind of is.
Here's the deal. He's leading. Yes, sure. He's leading in polls that have no impact on anything, because basically the only people who are answering questions are people that are excited about polls yet. We don't even know what front runners we have. We don't know anything about anything. So the fact that he's leading in anything is more about that he's entertaining his crap and that we're all having a good time laughing at this joker than anything else.
However, it does matter, because that's how they're determining who gets in the debates is based on ranking from polls. So it matters.
So you haven't seen that debate, I guess, that first debate he was in.
No.
It was a monstrosity, but it was also the highest rated ever in the history of debates.
How much of that stuff trickles over overseas, like into Sweden, like there? Do you hear a lot about Trump and the presidential race, and is it kind of
what do you hear
laughed
over there?
At as much there as we expect?
Well, here's Sweden's history in a nutshell. They hated Bush with a passion.
Yeah.
They thought Obama was the savior, and so that's why they gave him a peace prize after 2 minutes of being president.
Yeah.
Right.
And now they're kind of disappointed because they thought he was much more liberal than he is, or, you know, whatever he could pull off.
Sure.
And I think now it's more like we're like the embarrassing cousins. They just don't want to talk about. No, I think they get lots of, I think the average Swede knows more than I do, to be honest, because I'm just sort of avoiding it. I don't really want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. My most ardent conservative friends, people who are straight up hardcore Republican voters, think he's a laughingstock and wish he wasn't in there. So it's there is a weird, very low level, vocal, loud, obnoxious minority that really loves everything Trump. He's telling the truth. We need him in. This is what the country needs right here. There's that happening, and then there's everyone else, and most people are just like, okay, well, let's get to the meat of this thing, because here's what'll happen. We'll get to the second debate, and then they'll get to some other stuff, and then we'll actually start getting toward where people would start winning something, and he'll be done. It won't happen. There's no freaking way. Not a chance in a snowball's chance in hell he gets elected to anything.
Oh, I hope that's true.
It's not going to happen.
I know, right?
It's not going to happen.
You're pretty confident.
I am 100% sure. I am 100% sure. And there are plenty of past examples of when somebody like this comes along. The only thing he may do that could really truly disrupt the election is run third party, which will just split the vote and put Hillary or whoever in that, you know, gets
the, yeah, he's going to perot the whole thing.
Yeah, perot the whole thing.
As goofy as he is, he knows the things to say that will rile up a certain percentage of the U.S.
Yeah, he's pushing buttons that very much resonate
exactly
with a certain
you know, just his whole platform of Make America Great Again is enough for the most jingoistic people to say, oh, he's my candidate. You know, I don't care right. what he says. I don't care how crazy he seems. As long as that's his platform, I'm all for him. And that's a scary thought that actually could push him towards the White House.
As close as he would get, I'm telling you, the closest he'll get will be splitting the vote like Perot. That'll be it. I'm telling you, okay. It won't be anything.
You don't think
but that.
He becomes? You don't think he becomes the Republican front runner?
Hell no. There's okay. not a chance. There's right. no way. And if he did, then welcome President Hillary Clinton, because that's who will win. I'm telling you, man. Right. There's no way Trump wins, because once you get out of this loud, obnoxious yell fest that is the thing that is happening right now, and you actually get right down to brass tacks, he's got weird skeletons in his closet. They're going to come out. There's going to be weird stuff. You're going to be like, you know what it's going to be like? He's the Michelle Bachmann or the, who's Alaska lady? Can't think of her name. No. Sarah Palin.
Palin. Palin.
He's the Palin of this race. And he may be double, triple that. He may be a bunch louder than that even. But those people were also unelectable for very similar reasons. When you get out on this crazy branch of extremeness, nobody wants you in. So it'll have to be.
The worst part, though, is the overall influence of that, which is.
Ah, that's sorry. Hold on. Well, decline. Hello. That's not supposed to do that. Sorry. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
Is the whole the danger he actually poses is the to steal a word from Colbert, the truthiness that people believe he is speaking, or the more crazy he pulls the right, others have to compensate. I mean, I think Walker's the most boring dude in the world. Mm. But you know, is he gonna not get in some debates because he's gonna lose numbers in the polls because he's not crazy enough?
Oh no,
like,
there,
there's
this
entertainment the, factor that's
no that's the thing that really bothers most people, is the fact that there are candidates who are genuinely you know, have you know, they're venerable people with like long time governorships and long times in politics or you know, something to say or something to show for themselves, that are running for this nomination, who were kept out of those debates because they weren't as big a deal as Trump is. In other words, they're actually electable and they can't be in them because they don't have enough chairs for more than 8 people, and somebody had to get bumped because look at the numbers that brought in for Fox. I mean, he was enormously popular, that
right.
debate.
Well, and you have Chris Christie. It looks like a super mellow dude now.
No. Like, see, right. Okay, so you're on to the other conspiracy. There's a conspiracy floating around that he is there, either knowingly or unknowingly by the rest of the pack, as someone who will distract and make everyone else look better. And
yeah.
And you could say that, you know, I don't know what the Democratic equivalent of that is, but bringing somebody in who's like a distraction that makes you go, whoa, slow down. I think Jeb Bush looks a lot better than this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there is
right.
the more ridiculous he looks. And so the conspiracy is
the other ones. Look,
the conspiracy is that he knows that he's doing this and he's doing it on purpose. But I don't know.
There is something even sadder. If there is a Bush Clinton ticket, I'd like someone to argue for me how nepotism and we don't have a monarchy. Like, come on, we cannot have another election with those two names.
I know, I don't want those two people. I don't want them. I want somebody else. I don't know who it is yet. Bernie Sanders, I kind of like Rand Paul sometimes. Sometimes he drives me nuts.
See,
so,
Trump is making all these guys seem less extreme, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, right? He is. He is. He makes Rand Paul.
Rand Paul does not even seem like an anarchist anymore.
Right. I liked his dad better than him, but anyway.
Well, that's true for everyone.
Whatever. My leanings are always toward I want somebody with character and somebody who's a decent guy and somebody who's blah, blah, blah. And maybe one of these guys is Republican, maybe one of these guys is Democratic, but I am with you. Do we have to have another freaking dynasty with all these Bushes and Clintons? Mm-hmm. No more Bushes and Clintons!
And it's all about money, friends. It's all about money and the machine, and I'm going to ignore it. So you guys let me know.
The Clinbushians. That's what I'm going to call them. One big...
When Trump has a reality show coming out of the White House.
Yeah. It's going to happen, dude. Oh, my gosh.
Imagine the press conferences. It's going to be great. So much truthiness, so much anger.
But people are sure having a ball with it, I can tell you that. Like, just if you're a satirist, if you're John Oliver, if you're, you know, any of these people that are doing incredible work right now, right. Then you're having the best time of your life. So,
But they're also a little scared, let's be honest.
Yeah, of course they are. well, let's get to the brass tacks here. Let's get to the business at hand.
Let's help somebody.
Wendy comes on Therapy Thursday. We actually haven't had you on since Nerdtacular. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Right? Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, right. Yeah. Crazy. Because of London.
That was a great time. People really enjoyed having you there, of course. And,
super fun.
Really fun. Now you're back from London. You're back home in Sweden, your second home.
Home away
from home. And we're going to give you a question. This is an interesting one. It comes to us from somebody who actually stood up to ask us a question at that therapy panel at N15. And because we ran out of time, they couldn't do it. So I told him, hey, why don't you send in an email and we'll talk about it here. And he said, okay, great. So this is a good friend of the show. Brandon Old Man Franks Matthews sent this in. Mm-hmm. And he's got a problem that I have felt his pain. In fact, I feel it now sometimes. So I totally understand where he's coming from. He says this, dear Scott, Brian, and Wendy. Hey, this is a question I was going to ask during Nerdtacular's panel. Feel free to use it on either Hypo Help or Therapy Thursday. Name me if you like. My crazy is worn on my sleeve. I have an issue where I tend to project my personal anxieties that are based on things that have happened to me in the past onto my daughter. It's this beautiful little girl that's maybe a year and a half old or so. Is that how old she is?
Probably. Yeah.
Close to two? Cutest little thing.
Yeah. Closer to one, like one year and a half. Yeah.
Something like that. She was at Nerdtacular 2014, but not at 2015. They went out on their own, which is important for this email. Let me give you the most recent example. When I was a kid, sometime in my grade school age, my mom took a trip to Canada to visit my cousin, or a cousin. I still had school, obviously, so I stayed with the family that had been friends of ours for years and years and years. My parents had long been divorced. Mind you, I spent nearly every day after school with this family, so they are not strangers at all. I was utterly miserable. I wanted to go home. I wanted my mom back. I felt abandoned, and I hated every second of it. Now fast forward to the last few weeks. My wife and I are headed to Nerdtacular. Our plan is to leave our daughter of 1.5 years with my best friend and his family. Again, how do you say her name? Is it
Amelie?
Is it Amelie?
Mm-hmm. I swear it's different than that.
No, it's Amelie.
Okay. It's not Amelie?
It's not Amelie.
All right. Anyway, I never say it right. Anyway, his little girl knows them. She's been around them a ton ever since we moved to Colorado last November. They live in Colorado. All I can think about right now is how miserable I was during the week my mom was gone, and I'm terrified that she would feel that same way when I had my parents take that trip without me. I understand that we are not the same person, as well as the fact that she is way younger than I was at the time. And after we picked her up, she was very happy to see us, and we were told that she had a ton of fun and never really cried outside the normal things toddlers cry about. So this is after they got home. This is just a simple example, and like all the others, it turned out that my fears were baseless. Yet I cannot get myself to stop having a stomach-churning anxiety when she experiences, whenever she experiences something that made me miserable. I do not want this to affect her negatively, especially given how young she is. How do I get this to stop, or at the very least, prevent it from affecting her somehow? Thanks for all you guys do. Love the show, but get off my lawn, though. Brandon, Old Man Franks Matthews. So he's a super nice guy. They're wonderful parents, but I feel like I don't know if most parents can commiserate with this, but I feel like I can. There were times when, you know, we'd go to Vegas for a week, Kim and I, and we'd leave the baby, Taylor at the time, with my mom, and I would worry the whole time that she was having a bad time, or that she would miss us too much, or whatever, like this weird separation anxiety. So it doesn't feel all that abnormal to me. Would you agree, Wendy? Is this abnormal? Is this, where are we at with this?
No, I mean, I think it's pretty common, at least especially when your kids are young and there's all the like physical hazards that, you know, as a parent, you're spending a lot of time making sure there's not like a jack or a ball on the floor that they could choke on or whatever. So there's a lot more sort of physicality to that protectiveness that, you know, sort of occurs when they're younger. And yet he's speaking to an awareness of something, which puts him ahead of the game, because I think it's common for this to happen. But I think what's sadly more common in maybe less cases, but in plenty of cases, is this projection of your own issues onto your child and being completely unaware of it and how it impacts your child. That's sadly what's common with some people. And that's where the damage comes. So he's a couple steps ahead with two things. It's normal. And yet his awareness is really a good thing because he's realizing, wait, okay, that's my issue. My issue is I hated school. When she starts school, how am I going to sort of manage my feelings? Or I hated when my mom left me. How is she going to handle, you know, he's realizing, oh, this is my stuff, not hers.
Right.
So there's that. And then the second thing is he left her and he went to Nerdtacular. Yeah. Good work.
Yeah.
So there's a balance between feeding into the fears you may have. There are people who will never let their child leave their side because of this. And think of the long-term damage that's really going to be for that kid, right?
Yeah.
But every one of us, with our fear or not, has to let go and practice letting go again the next time and then another time, practice letting go. And so there comes this sort of tricky path of sort of trusting your gut and keeping in your awareness your issues and making sure that's not in the way. So I'm not so worried about him, to be honest, other than he probably really needs to practice keeping that awareness, talking it through with his wife, making sure he's delineating between his stuff and the kid's stuff.
Is it a matter of severity here? Because it sounds like everyone's going to have a little bit of, oh, I hope she's okay while we're gone, calling every night to make sure everything's okay. I mean, I think you're a bad parent if you don't care how your toddler's doing while you're gone, but then it just seems like it's degrees. So maybe if it's causing him, you know, tons of distress and he's physically being torn to pieces and can't function, well, that's different than just feeling a tinge in the back of your head all the time saying, man, I hope she's okay.
I'm more, you know, surprised that this fear that he had or this event that happened when his mom went to Canada is still with him. Like, that seems like there must have been something else that triggered that, because I'm sure my folks left me a bunch of times when I was a kid. Actually, the only one memory I have of that is my mom running over to the store and me kind of taking an advantage of that moment to finally play with a match, because I'd always seen her lighting matches when she was smoking cigarettes. And, I get to finally try a match. I get to light a match because that's really cool, and being freaked out about that. But that the fact that there is some event that happened while his mom went to Canada that is just sticking with him to the point where he's still holding on to that several years later.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great question or point, because what it smells of, that plus his sort of general concern, just has the typical anxiety fragrance to it, which is kind of worrying a little too much about everything. And when you're a kid and you have some anxieties, those moments, like for you, it was like, sweet, I'm going to light a match.
Right.
Probably indicates you were a naughty kid, not necessarily an anxious kid, right?
No, I kind of was a naughty kid. Yeah.
Right. And maybe not enough fear, but you can have the opposite where you're a little bit afraid of everything. And so maybe you're more prone to homesickness or, you know, whatever. Did he say how old he was when he went to
school? No, but
grade school. He said grade school age.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. Grade school.
Kind of related to that though. I won't say that there weren't times that I was afraid we wouldn't leave Tristan alone, but there were times that he would be in another room. We couldn't see him when he was that age. And there was a little part of me was thinking, is he in that other room lighting matches? Because that's what I did.
Well, right. So how much does that come up in parenting anyway? Like there's lots of times where I'm like, I'll see Nick at 15 going or something. And I'll go, yeah, that was freaking, I did that. Damn it. I don't want to see him do things I did.
Paid back for
It's like that. There is that weird payback, right?
Yeah,
and maybe that's part of this, or at the very least, he's not, you know, he's not frustrated with what she's doing. He's worried that she's going to be like him, and I have that thing a lot. Like, I don't want Nick to end up with my weaknesses. I want him to have all my strengths, whatever those may be, and none of my weaknesses. And I think about it sometimes. So that seems natural, right? And again, just a matter of degrees.
Right, and so this is what the only power he actually has is to. And Brian alluded to this a little bit, look into what some of those fears are and manage them, you know, figure out what that was about. So for example, if he was my client and he sat down and we started talking about his issue, I would have him and say, he brought up this story about his mom. I wouldn't talk about, hey, you know, the next time you're leaving your daughter, what you need to do is just breathe deeply and move on. Even though breathing deeply might be helpful, there's also maybe something about that. He used the word feeling abandoned, right? Like, that's a big word. That's something. And so we would dig into that. What did that mean? Was that the only time you felt that way? Was that a, you know, did you generally have fears as a child that bad things would happen? Da, da, da. You kind of go through and figure out, is this a pattern throughout his life that needs some addressing that he's just overlaying onto having a child? Because a child sure does trigger fear. Or is it just the child is triggering fear and he needs to just figure out how to handle that? Yeah. My guess is it's the former, that there's some history there that maybe he could do a little work with and dig into and figure out, okay, maybe that's what that is. And what's powerful about that process is it's when things are in your unconscious and when things are shoved down and hidden with years and years of trying to forget about it or push it down or ignore or whatever, it will find a way to leak out and be stinky and sometimes toxic, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just being really real with yourself about what your stuff is so that it doesn't then impact your kid. As opposed to trying to work it out directly with the kid, you got to work it out with yourself first.
Yeah. And if you, so in his case, here's the other thing too. When he was there at the event, they seemed just like they were doing great, having a great time. Is there any value in him? Because there's a tendency to want to just cover all this up when you're feeling it and not express it or whatever.
Right.
I guess we robbed him of that chance at the event because we ran out of time. But, you know, when you're there and you're sort of in the moment, how do you douse it though? Like, is there any kind of like at the moment of the crisis of feeling, oh my gosh, we, you know, this incredible urge to just go home and get her and not have her have this terrible experience.
Right. What's a good tip? How you have that voice in your head that ramps up situations.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, oh, she might be dead right now. Yeah. What am I doing here at this nerdtacular party when I should be whatever. So you can listen to that voice and it can ramp up and you can feel more anxious and panic and make decisions based on that. I mean, he wouldn't be the first one to try to catch an earlier flight to run home to make sure they turn the stove off and, you know, everything's fine.
Sure.
However, it's sort of the opposite of what you need to do and could do, which is ramp up the voice of reason, ramp up the calming voice. So say your friend's sitting next to you or he was there talking to you and he was saying, I'm really worried about this, da, 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 and he's just kind of venting it. And then what does a friend do to sort of, you know, validate that, hey, those fears are normal, it's going to be okay, you know, some kind of self-soothing kind of conversation with someone you trust. So this is where most people struggle in their own heads, is there are these really mean voices or really like panicky voices, right? Have you ever heard someone just panic near you, their voice, and you're like, whoa, okay, everyone panic.
Yeah.
Because that kind of voice, it triggers all of our parasympathetic responses to panic with them. That's why you yell fire when you need help, because that gets everyone going, right?
Right.
And so the same thing is true when that voice is just going off in your head. So part of this self-analysis and work is to figure out how to quiet some of those voices and then turn up the voice that's the voice of reason or calm. And, you know, maybe it's you involve your partner in this and, you know, you talk about, hey, when I'm starting to feel this way, what's the game plan? We talk about it. Maybe we call her once and see her on Skype and make sure she's okay. And then I practice breathing and letting it go and getting involved in something else. And because in the end, the child will be more confident, have a healthy attachment to you, you know, be better in her own individuation and development if you aren't freaking out and rescuing her all the time or, you know, with your own stuff when it's not really her stuff. And so it's really important. And he sounds really motivated, right? He sounds like, I don't want to ruin her. I don't want this to have an impact on her. And it will if he doesn't figure out how to, you know, to self-soothe when he's away from her and make those choices to have some space like he did with Nertacular, which at 18 months, that's a good sign. I mean, I'm not as worried as if he said she was 16 and the hen left her, you know?
Right. Yeah, I guess that's the other thing is some perspective here. She's a toddler who you always are just like, oh, no, that's hot. Don't touch that, honey. Oh, no, don't walk in the street there. That car will hit you. You know, you're always doing that. So right. I feel like it's heightened because of that, and naturally so. He's supposed to be her protector. It yeah. isn't like that isn't his job, but in our mostly civilized society, that's the beauty of having a friend who can watch her for a week and make sure yeah. everything's fine and keep her fed.
Parents in town or whatever.
Sure, yeah. sure. So you've got that support system Wendy's talking about is there, and that's why we are such social creatures and the reason why we go crazy when we're alone and why we thrive in relationships. So it seems to me like he's just having one of those natural moments it's feeling and new. Different.
Here's this thing. This is not magic, mind reading, rocket science. If your kid had a hard time when you left, yeah. okay, 2-year-olds can't really talk, but your 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old self, a parent who's in tune to that kid's needs and well-being sees that the kid has struggled and you talk about it and you let them get those feelings out. I felt abandoned, mom, when you went to Canada mm-hmm. and mom has the wherewithal to not be like, oh, well, I need a break for myself. Okay. It's not about you, mom. It's about mm-hmm. this kid had this experience and a safe place to talk about it and process it. It doesn't have to be this lifelong trauma.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, you know, we're all so worried we're going to ruin our kids for life when we do one thing wrong, one misstep, one behavior, because maybe that's how it felt for us, that our parents, totally in the 70s, they were grooving and moving.
You think
and,
about the one event that your parents did that ruined you.
Right, exactly. There is something to be said for why we yeah. parent the way we do now because yeah. of our parents, how they parented in the 70s. And bless them. That was a lucky time for them because they could just smoke and litter. And what else could they do? Your kid just went outside. It was awesome
oh, yeah.
to be a parent then. But
car seats? What's a car seat? Yeah. Seat exactly. belts are even questionable.
Exactly. Yeah, no. Right. I,
and
dude.
So you had all those dynamics. But, you know, so I think sometimes can you believe a therapist is saying this? We have over-therapized ourselves a little bit too. Like, I have mommy issues and daddy issues and I will be the perfect parent. Well, guess what you just are going to do? You're going to do some opposite version of your parents that's like just as bad, right? So there's like a chill out thing that maybe everyone could calm down a bit and realize that checking in regularly with your kids about their sort of state of experience in life. And, you know, like the other day I said to Abe, so do you feel loved? And he looked at me like, what? And I said, yeah, do you feel loved? And he goes, well, yeah. I said, all right, tell me how.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you asking me this? And I said, because I know a lot of adults who claim they never felt loved as a kid. And I just don't think that's a fair thing to do later on. So I'm asking you as we go along, do you feel loved? Yeah. And he thinks I'm a weirdo. So I'm going to screw him up in my own special way, everyone. Don't you worry. But but there is something to be said for you are not powerless to talk to them in the next, you know, the 18 years they're in your home. You can ask questions. You can take their temperature. Now, don't be crazy. Don't be like every other week, like, so do you think I love you? I mean, don't be weird.
Yeah.
But there is a, you know, like, hey, we were just on a trip for a week. How did you feel about that? Were you scared? And if they learn that they can just talk to you without being in trouble or without you making it about them, then you're going to have a good litmus test most of their life. And you can't screw up that bad.
Completely agree. And if this gives him any solace, and this is for anyone out there who thinks they've got a little hyper kid who's just going to be trouble their whole lives and they're just worried about how kind of parent they're going to be or whatever. Once in a while, you get confirmation that you did okay. And maybe even better than okay. So she probably won't be mad at me if I read this. But Taylor sent me and Kim a text yesterday. Said this. She says, I love you guys so much. Feel like I don't tell you that enough. You guys are my heroes. Hope you have a great day. Now, when your daughter or son does that out of the blue, without prompting, without any reason at all, except to just express how she feels about her parents, you can feel pretty good about what you do. And I can tell you, Brandon, I spent a lot of time during my kid raising years with her specifically worried about her. It's normal. It's okay. You just have to do what Wendy says. Especially that communication bit. And it'll all be fine. Doesn't mean you won't still worry. Doesn't mean I still won't. When she eventually has a kid, I'm going to be terrified, stressed for her because she's going to be in a hospital, in labor, in pain, and I can't do anything about it. That never goes away. Like, you're always going to feel that way. So you just have to accept the fact that the reason you feel this way is because you have this incredible capacity to care about and love this creature you created. And then secondly, just don't let that overrun everything else and you'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Well, and also this, like, this too shall pass. Like, every stage has its own thing, right? And it's not until your oldest child goes to kindergarten not in diapers that you realize, like, it is possible that they just get potty trained. Like, it's not the end of the world when they have an accident. You know, your kid has an accident while they're potty training and you're picturing them in college, like, wearing Depends. And you think, I will have failed. But you, once you get through a stage, you realize, oh, well, okay, there is something on the other end. I now have a 13-year-old who is the moodiest human being. I swear I wasn't moody for 5 minutes because clearly I have no recollection of being 13. Yeah. But what the flip? It's the worst. And I keep thinking, okay, everything works out. And you have to sometimes just find some mantras like, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. This is the light at the end of the tunnel. This is going to be okay. Or find someone older than you in parenting who's not insane and just tell them to remind you that it's all going to be okay. Maybe a grandparent, I found while I was potty training and ready to kill everyone, not me personally, potty training my children, I had many older ladies say to me, yeah, no one goes to kindergarten in diapers. And I remember thinking, like, you don't know how scary this is or how hard this is or blah, blah, blah. But you know what? If I just shut up and listen to the old ladies, they've clearly done it. And the more sort of relaxed someone is when they're discussing this, that's the one you want to listen to. You don't want to talk to someone who has 40 books for you to read. Just find maybe a mentor in parenting. I think it's a valuable thing in a lot of ways in life. Maybe a mentor couple when you're in a relationship to have someone to look up to and learn from. And maybe that same goes for some parenting.
Yeah. And from a purely side note perspective, I've seen this little girl. She's absolutely a bundle of joy and seems happy no matter what you do. So right. you may have gotten lucky and gotten one of those kids that is just bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and can't wait for life to be her playground. And mm-hmm. that's a huge load off when you have one of those. I have one of those, and it's a great feeling because you don't have to worry as much. You think you do, but you don't.
You don't. And they're not going to blame you for everything. She's not going to be in therapy years later talking about you. But your next child probably will. So just be warned. Second children are different.
Yeah, they can or be.
They're just, none of them are the same. So yeah, maybe just stick with the one and enjoy that.
It'll turn out like Brian. He turned out all right.
Yeah, yep, Brian exactly. Figured this out.
Yeah.
Right.
We've projected that onto our own child. Just one, that's fine.
Yeah, just one.
We're not going to be responsible for breaking more than one child.
Yes, double the issues onto one person. Yeah, it's like exactly. Honing exactly. A beam.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
That laser is exacting and very accurate.
Right.
Let us know how it goes, Brandon. I'm sure everything will be fine, and your daughter's awesome, so I'm not worried about you, buddy. Wendy is best found if you want to see her travails and things she's up to. You can see amazing photos of her life in Sweden by going to her Instagram account at Wendy Dunford on Instagram. Wendy, anything else? Any causes to promote?
I have refugee causes, but I'm not quite ready to promote them yet. However, I did want to say something about being in America.
Yeah.
You would think 1 year you wouldn't forget things, but let me tell you the two things that freaked me out.
All right.
I know. I've grown up there. Why I still can't get over it is the serving sizes, people. What are we doing?
Yeah, funny is even I live here and I notice it. It's like too much. Like, it's back off,
unreal.
Everyone.
Real.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then the second is similar in a rest. I ate out a lot. Let me just say that probably every meal because food shouldn't be that cheap either. P.S. Yeah. But also, you're sitting at a table, and when I told a Swedish person this story, that later they're like, "You are becoming Swedish." And what it is when you sit down and a waitress comes up and like screams at you, "Hi, everybody!" And I ducked and like plugged my ears almost. I mean, it was terrifying.
And it's they ask you in Swedish restaurants, do they say, "Have you been here before?"
Oh my gosh, they ask you nothing.
Yeah.
They say, "Here's the menu."
Well, that doesn't sound great. That doesn't sound like fun to me to go.
Oh no, trust me, it's better.
Is it really?
I'm sure there's bad customer service because they don't get tips. Tipping is not a thing in the rest of the world. Hello, everyone. Well, you in Slovenia, that's it.
Yeah.
And so they don't have to work that hard for the money. So you may get bad service for sure.
Yeah.
But wow, how not to have your plate taken before you're actually finished with your meal, or You take a sip of your water and it's full as you set it down because they filled it up right there. I mean, and they're yelling and they're so friendly. It was just shocking. And then the plates would come out and they were enormous. And I thought, where am I? And it only took a year to completely forget about that.
Yeah, they do. The portions thing is a weird thing. I don't know why Canada can't back out of this one. They're just as bad as us. But
are they?
Oh, yeah. They're five friends in Canada. They're like, yeah, we have the same problem up here. And it's just, it's not, I just don't understand.
Eight serving size of poutine.
It's like they just want to keep going bigger. It's like, well, that was big. Nope, we can go bigger. Or the guys up the street, Applebee's is bigger. So here at Chili's, we're going to be bigger. I don't know. I don't, maybe it's a competitive thing or who knows. But I'm not eating most of what I get these days. Like because I'm trying to cut back. And because of that, I'm not as hungry. So it's like, if I ask for the smallest burger you have, that still means like a half a pound of beef and a freaking huge thing of fries, and you know, it's just crazy. So yeah,
I started asking for like the grandma menu, you know, like or the kids menu, like
senior,
the senior, like the light luncheon, and they would still be enormous, and I'd be like, what is going on?
How do old people eat all this?
We have bounty of food.
It's crazy, and the bad drivers,
though. And the bad drivers, yeah, I'll give you that one.
It's always a thing.
All right. Well, was there anything you liked about being back in the States?
Yeah. It was Snowbird was beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was nice to be warm. Yeah. It's warm in Sweden now.
Yeah.
It waited till August to be warm.
Yeah.
So that's been nice. But I really haven't been warm for a whole year. So that was really nice to warm up.
Right. Did you go to a Walmart just to be reminded how bad that experience can be?
I decided I couldn't take it, so I didn't go.
Dang it.
Smart woman.
Dang it. I wish you would have. It would have been a fun conversation piece to see how that landed on you after a couple of years.
The humanity. I don't know. It was not working for me.
All right. Well, always fun, always good. I can't wait to hear about your refugee thing, but that'll keep until you're ready. I guess we'll see you next week for a whole new episode. Wendy Dunford, everyone. We'll see you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. There she goes. There goes my sister. She's out. She's off. She's on to something else. That's going to do it for the show. No emails today.
We're off to something else is what we
are. All off to other things. Today's busy day, so plenty to do, lots to do. And tonight at 4:30 p.m., because of patreon.com/TMS and your contributions, we do an extra show every week. Tonight's episode will feature an app review because no Dan this week, but it'll be you and I doing apps.
There's a new app that I got that I've been dying to try out. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
So stuff to talk about there. Also, send in your TMS questions. Ask TMS is the hashtag. Use that with or without our morning stream Twitter account attached either. It doesn't matter. I'll be checking them via the hashtag. That's how I'll sort them. And you can ask us any short question you want. We'll answer them tonight on the show, among other things. 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Be here if you want to see it live. And tomorrow on the feed if you don't. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. You can send voicemails to 801-471-0462. Follow us on Twitter at Coverville for Brian, at Scott Johnson for me, and at Morningstream for the show. And finally, and I now have admin rights, so I'm super stoked about this, and huge thanks to Josh Mayhew for this. I don't know how he did it, Brian, but he got all my admin rights back for the Frogpants Reddit subreddit.
The dude is a Reddit genius is what he is.
I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he wrestled rights away. Like, he must be like a respected Reddit guy.
He's Master Blaster is what he is.
He must be.
He runs Reddit Town.
Yep. He knows how to run Reddit and make the best grilled chicken possible. Frogpants.
Don't get near him.
Frogpants.reddit.com is the Reddit. We're starting to use that more and push it and be there. So be there if you want to be a part of that and promote some articles. We'll talk about them on the show and stuff. That's it. I think that's it. Brian, let's go with God and have music in our hearts as we do it.
Sure. Amy from Portlandia wrote in, said, "There once was a girl turning 30 who wanted to be funny and flirty. She thought and she thought which song that she'd want, but as usual, she was too wordy. So a limerick for TMS to help Brian pick a cover of the best, a folksy take on a rock song for Amy to turn 30 on. Love the show, though. Obsessed."
All right. That was pretty good.
Nicely done. I like limericks. And she actually sent this in earlier in the month, but it was the Thursday that I went to Kona. So we didn't get a chance to read it or play it.
Yeah.
But a folk song, a folksy cover of a rock song. I know, you know, bluegrass doesn't always directly translate over to folk, but in this case, I feel like it does. This is Iron Horse. We've played them before, but we haven't played this cover. And I just love these guys. I love what they do. And I kind of wanted to keep with the Led Zeppelin theme today. So how about another Led Zeppelin cover? This is Iron Horse, and it comes from the 2005 release by Iron Horse called Whole Lotta Bluegrass, a vocal bluegrass tribute to Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
It's great. It's pick it up. You regret it if you don't. Mm-hmm. Here is their cover of Ramble On.
Nice. It's also streaming on RDO, Spotify, and Apple Music. So if you
have
one of those services,
enjoy it all.
Yeah, listen to that all the time. Here you go. This is it. We'll see you guys at 4:30. Bye.
On my way, thanks to you, I'm much obliged for such a pleasant stay. But now it's time for me to go. The autumn moonlight's my way. Now I smell the rain and with the pain, and it's headed my way. Sometimes I grow so tired, but I know I got one thing I got to do. Ramble on, now's the time is now. Sing my song, around the world I gotta find my girl. On my way, been this way 10 years today. Ramble on, gotta find the queen of all my dreams. Time has come to be gone. And to our health we drank 1,000 times. It's time to ramble on.
Ramble on! Now's the time is now. Sing my song. Around the world I gotta find my girl. On my way. Been this way 10 years today. Ramble on! Gotta find the queen of all my dreams.
Tale that can't be told, my freedom I hold dear. How years ago and days of old, when magic filled the air. It's in the darkest depths of mortar, I met a girl so fair. But Gollum and the evil one crept up and slipped away with her.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I was devastated. I had to reuse catheters for the rest of my life.
And they weren't even mine. I was reusing other people's.
Oh, that's even worse.